listening to The Terrific Teacherpreneur, a podcast for teachers looking to grow a successful online business. Your host, Alex, was able to transform her Teachers Pay Teacher store from a small side hustle into a profitable full-time business. She now helps other teachers do the same. Listen along for actionable tips and helpful wisdom about business and marketing as a teacherpreneur. Here's your host, Alex.
Hey there, Terrific Teacherpreneur. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Today, I have a guest on the show. I'm going to be chatting to Elise from Elise Loves to Teach. She's a third grade teacher and she sells on TPT, does full-time teaching, juggles it all. But she also wanted to share her amazing story of viral resources that brought her some amazing success. I won't give you any more hints or tell you anything else. Let's just dive in and meet Elise. But there is some really great stuff in this episode and I really can't wait for you to meet her. She's just such a lovely, friendly person. I'm so glad we connected on Instagram. But let's dive in.
Hey, Elise, welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have you here because we've, you know, connected on Instagram. It's really cool to like chat to you in person. So thank you for joining us. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm so great. Thank you, Alex, for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It's just awesome. It's nice to chat to you. And I'm really excited to hear your answer to some of these questions. I'm just really excited to get started. But first up, yeah, it'd be great if you could introduce yourself to my audience a little bit about you, about teaching, just like about who you are. That would be really awesome. And then after that, I'm going to ask you a little bit about your store and stuff. But yeah, first, just tell us about you.
Perfect. Well, I am a teacher. I've been teaching for 9 years. I've been in education for about 10 years. I currently live in Denver, Colorado, but I have traveled around the world and I've moved around a lot. I've taught in Tennessee and here in Colorado, obviously. And then my husband and I moved to Uganda for 6 months. And we lived there. I know it's kind of, it was kind of crazy, but I helped kind of manage teachers in a primary school in Uganda, like a very rural school. And it was such an awesome experience. And I learned so much and it just fired me up for teaching even more. So I total have been teaching in education about 10 years. And let's see, what else? What else do you want to know? I don't have any children. I say my husband's my child. He probably would say I'm his child. We take care of each other. And we don't have any pets because we travel. We spend our summers traveling. And so to get somebody to watch a dog or a cat would be hard for like 3 months at a time. So I love animals.
You sound like me and Dale. We're the same. You know, he's my child. I look after him. We have each other together. But yeah, basically it's just us. But yeah. It's just nice to hear a little bit about you. But now I would love it if you could share a little bit of your story in like setting up your TPT store, you know, about your kind of journey and your niche and what you do. And yeah, we would just love to hear about that as well.
Sure. So when I was a first year teacher, I was, you know, like most people, insane and creating so many things for my classroom and wanting to be the very best. And so it's like, oh, I'm teaching fractions tomorrow. I can create a quick little worksheet and put some cute graphics on there for my kids. I tried to do that a lot, probably too much looking back on it now. But I knew about Teachers Pay Teachers, but it was like, this was back in like 2013 when it was not as popular as it is today. And, you know, I don't know, I knew about it, but I remember my teacher mentor coming into my classroom one time and I was stressing out about a lesson and she's like, oh, just look on TPT and get something off TPT. And I was like, well, do you do that? And she was like, yeah, I do that all the time. So we looked something up and I remember something, the thing that I wanted to get was like $2.80 or something. And I was like, I don't want to spend money. Like, I could just make something. She's like, you could spend like 5 hours making something, or you could just buy this for $2.80. I was like, okay. And I did it and I loved it after that. I was like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, but even looking at the resources, like I make things like this all the time. I could do this. But as a first year teacher, I knew I had no time during the year at that point. I was like, you know, coming up for air to breathe on weekends. So I waited until that summer. And in the summer, I told my husband, this is going to be like my summer job. I'm just going to figure out Teachers Pay Teachers. And this was before like Instagram and groups that you could join. And like, there wasn't much out there. There was the forum on TPT. You probably remember this. And so I asked questions like on the forum, and then I found like random YouTube videos from like Casey Morris and stuff on how to do it. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I figured out, you know, how to flatten things and all of that over the summer. And then I still remember the first time I sold something. It was that summer, like that July, and the cha-ching came through on my phone, and I was at a restaurant eating with my husband and my in-laws. And I looked at it and I was like, what? And I threw the phone across the room. Something that I made. It was the coolest feeling. And then after that, I was just hooked. I'm like, I've got to keep doing this. And so that began my journey. And I've been selling now for 8 years or so.
It's like an addictive feeling, isn't it? When like someone buys something from you, you're like, and you just want that feeling over and over again. It's like a drug.
It is like a drug. It's literally, I think it's like the same, and I've said this before, it's like the same kind of hit like that you get from likes and stuff. You know, it's like when somebody buys your product, you're like, oh.
It's like sort of dopamine or something. There's something.
Exactly. The dopamine. Yes.
And yeah, what's your like niche or kind of your focus with your store? Has that always been the same or?
I'm so glad you asked. You know, when I first, like for years, people talked about the niche. I even remember listening to some of your podcast, Alex, and going home going, I've got to get a niche. And I've been selling for 5 years and I just felt this pressure that I like have to have it. So if your listeners are feeling like that, I'm here to tell you, you can sell without one, but to really make the big bucks, you're going to have one. Like that's the bottom line. And I feel like once I figured out what my strength was, that's really when I started seeing consistent, good money that I could count on every month that didn't fluctuate. And so I would say my niche now is kind of artsy, craftsy stuff. I love the fun, like writing crafts, holiday crafts, things that kids will enjoy doing, but also has some kind of element of writing component to it also. And then classroom community. I love like building up students and student-teacher relationships. And so I make some like games and scavenger hunts and things like that for the classroom to build classroom community.
Oh, that's similar to me because I got lots of crafts and things and they're just so fun to make.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah, I can relate to that. Oh, and I relate to the niche thing so much because although I'm really like sanctimonious now and saying niches are so important, when I first started, I felt that struggle too. And I was kind of like, you know, you just are kind of figuring out what you're doing. And I think right. I was making like a mixture of some ELA, some math, like a kind of mix of everything. And it wasn't so much that I found what I loved or it was almost like I kind of watched my sales and I could see what was doing well. And I kind of stopped seeing, oh, this performs better. And, you know, so I kind of started, you know what I mean? I just kind of narrowed it slowly over the years. So yeah, like anyone listening, you know, we took a while to figure it out that you don't have to know from day one. So.
Exactly. And that to say like, yes, my focus is the artistic kind of stuff, but I still sell like ELA and science stuff too. It's just not what's going to bring in the I don't know when that's going to sell. I know if I make certain things now, I can post a product and I know it's going to sell within a couple of days because I know that's what people want. Because like you said, the data shows that and you get to see what people really think that you're good at, I guess, which is funny because like I love art. If I wasn't a third grade teacher, I would probably be an art teacher because I just always look for reasons to do crafts. So I can come up with stuff that I just think, well, in the past, I've learned that not everybody can come up with it, but I just used to think, oh, everybody can do this. Like, duh, why would I even sell this? I'm sure people, you know, but they can't, and they don't think of the ideas. Some teachers don't have time to make the ideas. So they just go on TPT and they're like, oh, she's going to do it for me. And it's going to be consistent and good every time. So then once you build that reputation, people keep coming back. And that's when I think you start seeing more of the sales.
Yeah, I feel like we're all twinsies here because that's what I was like as well in the classroom. I don't know, everything always had to be very kind of artsy. If I could make it into some kind of craft or fun activity, I would. So yeah, we're like little twins.
I know, that's funny. And it's as much for me as it is for them. I'm going to be a happier teacher if I get to arts and craft during the day, you know?
Oh, that's so good to hear. Okay, so focus of today's episode is you've had some really great experiences with having products go kind of viral and stuff. So can you tell us a little bit about what happened with that? Because I'm really curious to hear.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. And I really hope that this encourages sellers, especially new sellers, because I mean, for years, probably for 5 years, I could make between $50 and upwards of $200, and that's it, a month. Okay, a month. And that's for 5 years. But we'll kind of talk about this maybe in a little bit. You can ask more about the teacher work, teacher balance of TBT. But that's mostly because I wasn't able to work on it during the year. I worked on it during the summers. And it's not a full-time job for me. So I was happy just to have a little bit of money to have for Starbucks or Netflix or to go shopping or whatever. And, you know, didn't take it that seriously. Well, when the pandemic hit, I had just kind of started making like more of the $200 a month range. And I thought, I am so cool. I am making $200 a month. I was so excited. So I was motivated to keep working on it. And we were all at home more, right? So I started working. And I think it was that summer, right after the pandemic was here, and some schools were going back in person and some were holding back and saying, we're going to start virtually. And so I really started thinking, you know, what is it that teachers are going to need? What should I make that nobody else has made that we're going to have? And I made COVID safety posters, and I made them super cute and big fonts. And those are what really took off. Like, it's like everybody needed safety posters, like washing your hands, wearing a mask, you know, all the things that like kids had never had to do in school before. So that really started taking off. And I remember being on vacation with my husband in Pennsylvania in July, and we were on a walk and I hit my first $1,000 month. And I just like, I made it. I'm such a big deal. You know, like that's Mark. And I just remember doing a little dance in the woods on our hike together. We were so excited. Well, little did I know that the very next month, it was just going to explode. Okay. Those COVID posters, and I'd made one other product that really went viral too, and that was a get to know you digital scavenger hunt. So part of my thinking was all these teachers are going to need some way to connect over a screen with their brand new class in August who they've never met before. And so we need some kind of community building, digital community building. So I made several different scavenger hunts, and then those took off, and they eventually got even bigger than the COVID posters. But between those two things, the next month, so July I made $1,000. The next month in August, I made $10,000.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Alex, I was like, what is life? Who am I? Maybe I should just retire. Like, had a pulse at the top. Now, I want to tell your listeners right now, I was not able to sustain $10,000 months. That was a rare thing. Okay. So don't be like, oh my gosh, Elise is a millionaire. I am not a millionaire. But I think that was just a case of right place, right time, right thinking in a market that really needed some good teachers just to think about what is every teacher in the world going to be needing. And it really felt like it was crazy. It was like my phone was blowing up so much. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. I eventually had to just turn it off. Like, I couldn't even have it on. I would go to the bathroom and come back and look at my phone, and I'd have 13 sales. I mean, it was ridiculous. I never would have imagined that that would have happened when I first started. And honestly, it's not happening today, you know, but it's like some of those products. And so I've learned from the experience, and that's really what I wanted to share with your listeners was a few tips on how to continue to create products that go viral, because that was such a crazy thing.
That's honestly the best problem to have, is too many ka-chings. I mean,
right? I know.
I love it. I'm honestly like, you've no idea like how excited I am for you. Like, that kind of success story, it's just honestly so motivating, so exciting. It's so nice to hear of a teacher having that happen to them. It's just, oh, it's like warm as the heart.
Oh, I'm glad. Good.
Okay, so let's talk more about that. So what advice would you give to other sellers so they can achieve that same sort of exciting success? How does one go about creating a product like that that goes viral? Tell us more.
Yeah, I am happy to share what I've learned. And I mean, obviously there's no like magic formula, but I have like 5 tips that I'd love to give.
Go for it.
Because I think 5 things, if they do these 5 things, it's really going to increase your chances. First of all, I think that what I've already talked about is, what can I make, thinking about what can I make that a large number of teachers are going to need? There's so much talk, you know, in the TBT world about your niche and, you know, focus on your niche, which is true. But if you can even think inside your niche and think within that, what is a huge number? Because I was selling those posters, were going, like, I have a Spanish teacher in high school who bought them for her class, and I have kindergarten teachers who bought them. It's very rare to have a product that can be that, you know, spread that wide. But if you could think of something like that, then that's number one. And I constantly sit around and think, what else can I make that's like that? You know, it's hard to do. It's hard to do, but that's my first tip. Second, I would say to jump on trends. So trends kind of come and go throughout TPT, but buyers, like especially teachers that aren't sellers, like pick up on these things. For example, the Tuesday. Remember when the Tuesday thing was real big this year? Like February 22nd, 22 or something. Anyway, everybody was wanting stuff for Tuesday, wanting to do cool stuff. Well, that wasn't just elementary school. That was across the board, you know, and that was across everywhere. Like everybody was so excited about it. So I made some product. It was a small thing, but I thought I'm just going to throw something out there. And I charged $2.22 and it shot up. Like it went viral, especially like the few days before. It was the same kind of like sale. So that was a trend, right? Now, I'm not selling them anymore because it's not Tuesday. So it's very limited on how long you can sell it. But if you can find things like that, then you're able to attract in more buyers and get your name out there more. People remember you and then they come back, right? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, increasing like your TPT followers or your whatever, like you're kind of getting your, I always say TPT is a bit like a funnel and the awareness is the top of it, and getting just more people to know who you are is 99% of the battle, honestly. And once they're in the funnel, you can kind of get them to buy. But yeah, awareness, that's good.
The awareness, the exposure is huge. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Then the third thing kind of along those lines is holidays. I think this is important for listeners to hear. I did not create for holidays for probably 5 or 6 years because I thought the market is so oversaturated. I could look on TPT for anything and just find tons and tons and tons of things. And I'm like, why would people buy from me with no reviews on this product if they have these amazing products out here from all these other people? And that was just a lie. Like it took me so long to realize, like, Elise, that is stupid and that's not true. And you have a following and people will see it and they'll want it. And there's always like a market for your specific brand of how you do something, right?
Yeah.
And so once I started like putting my first few holiday products out and seeing how fast those sold, I was like, oh my gosh, I should be doing this for every holiday. Yes, you should. You should be making things for every holiday. Also, I like tried to focus so much on just the evergreen resources, things that would sell all the time. But honestly, there's so many holidays throughout the year that like Thanksgiving is a big selling month for me. Christmas is a big selling month because I have those products, right? So if you create Valentine's is huge, right? You create something for those months, you're going to see an uptake in sales those months. So just want to say, don't be scared to do that. Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say, before you go for number four, I just want to say, I totally agree with you on that. Cause it's like, it becomes almost evergreen. If you had something for every month, if you have a big holiday thing, it becomes almost like you kind of have evergreen sales. It doesn't just have to be like once a year, you get a spike at Christmas. You can have Christmas, Valentine's, St. Patrick's Day, Easter, just like, you know, kind of thing. So I agree 100%.
That's a great way to look at it too, is like they do become evergreen sales because you have something for every holiday. That's a great way to look at it. I like that. I've never thought about it like that. Okay. Number four, I put, don't create any more random resources. I know this is something that you talk about too. And I'm like, every time I hear you say it, I'm like, yes, because I used to, I mean, as a teacher, I'm like, oh, I made this worksheet. Let me throw it up on TPT. Well, it'll sell every once in a while, but it's not going to be a big seller for you. And it's not going to be a big money maker. It might be. I mean, even I have a couple of math worksheets that there's a few months of the year when it's time to do order of operations that those will sell a lot. Right. But it's still not like the holiday resources or the viral, like it's not. Mm-hmm. So if you spend a lot of time on the $2 or $3 resources, it's just not going to add up. So it's the bundles, it's figuring out creating a product line, what people really like, and then bundling that together. You talk a lot about bundles too. I don't even need to say about bundles. Okay. And number five, this is a big one. Cute sells. It just does. Like, you need to have the good fonts. You need to invest in cute clip art. You need to make sure that your fonts are even updated. Like what I had 3 years ago, what I was using for cover fonts is not the same that I'm using today. Like buyers look for what looks trendy almost. They look for what looks cool and what looks new. And if your stuff looks old, it's just not still going to sell. That's why it's so important to keep updating things also. But I think as you're creating resources, like, some people undersell themselves, you know, like I sell like a little Valentine's bag and I know people would think, oh, charge maybe, you know, $2 for that. If it's cute enough, people will pay $4 or $5 for it, you know, like they want to have a cute product. So the cuter your stuff is, the more you can charge for it. Bottom line.
Yeah, I think the cute thing is so true, because I've always had that mindset of, if a teacher could make it themselves in a reasonably quick amount of time, like say they get to school Monday morning and they can open their laptop and they've got 20 minutes and they can make it themselves, then they're not going to buy it from you. So it's got to be something that is, you know, you've invested in the clip art and the fonts and you've made the effort of making it look really adorable or amazing or just eye-catching. And they think, oh my goodness, I couldn't do that. Like, I don't know how to do that. You know, like when I was first year teacher, I had like Microsoft Word and Times New Roman. I could not do anything to even level. So, you know, you buy it because you can't do it. But if you keep things too basic, I think the teacher could just make it themselves then. Now, obviously high school and things are very different, but like in terms of elementary for us, cute is important. Yeah.
When it comes to influencer marketing, there's a podcast that covers it all that you will want to add to your playlist. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. They talk about influencer marketing, social media, the creator economy, social commerce, and much, much more. They cover all aspects, including the creator economy, social commerce, the latest trends, the metaverse, TikTok trends, and that's just the beginning. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. Add the podcast to your playlist right now.
Totally agree, because everybody has some access to clip art, right? Like, doesn't the Microsoft Word and stuff still come with clip art? I don't know if it does or not. I don't know. I use my folders and stuff that I buy. But I will say, when I first started, though, I did not buy clip art. I got all the free stuff, and there's some really good, great free clip art out there by good clip artists. But I think eventually, if you're wanting to set yourself apart, you're not going to do the clip art that everybody else has. Like, I can see clip art now and I'm like, oh, I know where that came from. And I know that person got it for free. You know, like, as a seller, you just know when people put a little bit more effort into it and spend the money to have something that doesn't look like everybody else has. Yeah.
And the free stuff is good. I remember as well, before I started purchasing it, I had it, got the big library of like hundreds of pieces of free stuff from Creative Clips, Whimsy Clips, EDU Clips, the whole lot. But there is a limit on how many resources you can make with that, because, you know, you need phonics stuff or you need specific types of clip art. So it's unavoidable. Like, it's a worthwhile purchase. I mean, you said yourself with a Valentine's example, like say you spent $4 on some clip art for that product. Yeah. I mean, you need to sell it once to break even. And then after that,
exactly, Alex. It took me so long to realize that too. And now it's like, because I would go into my free stuff and I would say, okay, what heart things do I have? You know, like, what can I just use that I already have? And now I'm like, okay, I want it. Like, this last month, I thought, I want to make a Thanksgiving product. I'm going to go and purchase some brand new Thanksgiving, like cute turkeys. It has to be really cute. And then they sell, right? But it's like, if I just use what was free, what I already had, probably it's from 8 years ago, because all my free stuff is from 8 years ago. And buyers have seen that. So it doesn't look as fresh. It doesn't look as new. So, but I do think, I mean, just to encourage brand new sellers who are listening, absolutely, you can use free stuff and you can make it look cute. My point is, make it look cute, put your own label on it, put your own brand of cuteness to it. People will buy it.
Yeah. And I really like what you said as well earlier about the updating resources and the talking about the outdated clip art. I go through my computer, my clip art folders. I look at my old resources, and you'd be surprised how dated some of it gets, or how some of the stuff you thought was so cute back then, you're like, oh my goodness, it's terrible now. You know, like, these things evolve. So it's so important to go back and look at your old stuff and make sure that the clip art is still, you know, okay.
Right. Totally agree.
Yeah. I'm kind of sad almost to change topics now, because I've been enjoying this whole chatting about viral thing. I feel like we could talk about this all day. But you have given some really good tips. I'm hoping it inspires people. But the next question is just like a little segue into something different. Is, I was hoping to ask you a little bit about how you juggle things. So you're still in the classroom, full-time teaching. Can you give us some tips for juggling, surviving full-time teaching and running a store? Like, just share all your wisdom with us and how that goes.
Oh man, if anybody out there has more wisdom to share with me, please message me. I am happy to share what I can. I think it is so, so difficult. And, you know, not a lot of people talk about it, because I feel like really successful TPC sellers probably aren't still in the classroom. That's not always true. I know some that are. But it just takes so much work to be really good at this job, to do it well, to keep up with it. It just takes hours. And as teachers, we don't have that. So I think I mentioned, you know, at the beginning when I first started, like the first 5 years, I only worked on TPT in the summer. And that was my summer job. And then just during the year, I just let the cha-chings come in, and that got me between 50 and 200 a month, you know, and you never really knew, but it was something. And I was like, this is awesome at work, and I'm selling some stuff, you know. Once I got comfortable in my own role as a teacher, I think enough to know that I felt like I knew what I was doing. I wasn't staying at school till 6 o'clock every night. I was able to have boundaries and I could leave because I knew what I was doing the next day, which took a while. You know, it takes at least 5 years as a teacher to really feel that way. Then I could kind of come home and start working a little bit on it. I was able to strategically use my planning times more in class to like get grading done, to do those things that I had been bringing home to do at night. And I'm like, I really don't want to bring stuff home at night if I don't have to. And sometimes you can't avoid it, you know, during report card season or conference season, you have to. But a lot of times it was just a matter of just being better at time management at school. So if I showed up 30 minutes to school, it's like, okay, I would leave a stack of papers on my desk the night before. So I know as soon as I arrive at school the next day, I'm going to grade these papers and that's done. And I can get it done in 15 or 20 minutes, but it's better than bring it home to do it. You know, it's just anyway. So just little tips like that of using my time better at school. And then I don't work on it every night at all. And month to month, it's different. I know some people have schedules. For me, I'm more of a Myers-Briggs P. I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but I'm like spontaneous. I kind of go with the flow. I do it whenever I feel inspired to do it, but I try, and I'm often inspired, especially when resources are like blowing up and they're doing really well. Or if a holiday's coming and I'm like, okay, I know I need to update this because I know buyers are going to buy it. Then I'll work some at night, you know, on my couch with my husband, you know, while he's watching TV, and I'll just be updating a resource or working on it. I've gotten faster at resource creating too since then. And so, you know, night times are spent for that. Weekends also, we have our Saturdays together. My husband and I do adventure Saturdays. So we go out and have adventures on Saturday. We try to go new places and have fun. And I want to reserve that. Sometimes I'll get up Saturday morning and work for a couple of hours before we do that, or maybe a Sunday afternoon or something like that. But it's just like fitting it in here or there when you can. But I just, my biggest thing for people to hear is that it just takes time, because also you want to be a really good teacher. And to be a good teacher, you have to feel confident that you know what you're doing, that you're, you know, prepared for class. Like that's the most important thing. And then TPT kind of gets what's left over. But I find that even just giving it 30 minutes or so a night, it would help, you know, and it will really, really help the sales. It's because as you touch your work on TPT more consistently, your sales are going to be better instead of just waiting 6 months to touch it again, you know, working a little bit here and there at a time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that help? But
that sounds exciting. I feel like maybe probably most people in the classroom are probably experiencing the same thing as you, because that when you're the way you're talking about it sounds exactly what I felt like when I first started my store and I was still in the classroom, as it was going like 100, 200 a month kind of thing, same sort of thing. And I was quite exhausted during the year. So it was like the summers and the holidays and time off that I would do it. So I think that's kind of the norm. And I don't think you should put too much pressure on yourself to be every single morning or every single night doing TPT. It doesn't have to be that intense. You said yourself, you don't do it every night. But when you when you do work on your store, do you have to kind of make a conscious effort to prioritize the important stuff? Because like you said, the time is a bit more limited than, say, right, for me, I'm full-time TPT. So do you have to be really mindful about how you spend
time? Absolutely, I do. I have a little notebook that one of my friends sent me. Shout out to Teach with Lauren Dean. Isn't that so cute? They can't see it, this podcast. But it's my logo. It's a little notebook with my logo on it. So I keep notes in here of everything that I'm working on. And, you know, things will pop up in my head. Oh, I need to update this resource. Or I'll see one that comes through that somebody bought. I'm like, oh my gosh, they bought that. I need to update that, you know. So I'll jot myself a note. But that doesn't mean I go home that night and do it. No. Like, I'm prioritizing what's coming next. Like, Christmas is coming, obviously. So this past weekend, I've worked on holiday resources, creating reels for those resources, like doing some marketing stuff ahead of time for those, because that's going to be priority. And if I wait too long on those, then, you know, I'm missing out on potential buys or sales. So yes, you absolutely do have to prioritize what you're working on. And then a lot of the little stuff, you know, you can get to, oh, I've got 30 minutes here. Then I can check my list and say, oh, I wanted to change out my featured products for the month or whatever. I try to do that at the beginning of every month too, you know, but even that takes, I mean, everything takes time. It's like even selecting, what do I want to put there in those spaces?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, it's important to kind of prioritize things. And I think like it kind of reminded me of that shiny object syndrome bit when you were saying you kind of think, oh, I want to do that. But you're like, I don't have to do it now. I'll just write it down and maybe do it another time. Right.
But that I can relate so badly to that email. You know, like I get the emails on my phone from TPT of what I've sold, and then you go to one and it's like there's some really old, outdated thing, and you like cringe, you almost want to cry, like, oh, someone bought that on there.
I know. But I'm like, it's better for, I mean, I would rather that happen for a resource that's really small and random that nobody buys than like my big ones coming up. So my priority would be, let's focus on even my number one bestseller last December. Let me look at it and see, oh, I need to update like my, you know, at the end where you put, you may also like these resources. I need to update those because I've created more things since then. And maybe those aren't the best resources that they would be interested in now. I don't know, just little updates. And I'd rather do that for things that a mass amount of people are going to buy. I think that's more priority. And then save the little, you know, random science or math things for me, because those are random for me. They're not for everybody, but for me, I'll save those till the summer and then update them in the summer.
Yeah, I think that's important to ask yourself, like, is this task that feels like it's burning and important, like I need to do it now because someone just bought it, oh my goodness, I'm cringing. But you're like, is this actually something that sells all the time? Will it survive if I just leave it another few weeks or months or whatever? I think bestsellers are like the priority. You have to focus on those. You have to get those looking good because they sell every day. You don't be cringing every day.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You have given so many awesome tips, and I'm feeling so inspired about, obviously we talked about the viral stuff and everything. I'm so glad you came on the podcast. I really appreciate it. The last thing I was just going to ask is there like how we can connect with you, how my listeners can maybe connect with you on Instagram or something like that? Let us know.
Absolutely. I've loved being here too. Yes. Instagram is my number one jam. I love Instagram. You can find me at Elise Loves to Teach there. Also, please look at my TPT store, Elise Loves to Teach. If it's something that helps you, sometimes I just look at others and, you know, get ideas, not like creation ideas, but like, oh, they did a really good job at, on their, like their banner or connecting their this to that, or, you know, just different things. I think it's helpful just to get ideas from others. So Elise Loves to Teach on TPT or on Instagram. And please feel free to reach out and DM me. I love talking to people and just connecting and really just enjoy encouraging others. I hope my story's encouraged you today. And if you have any questions or you want to ask me anything, please, I'm an open book. Reach out.
That's so nice of you with the store and everything, because it's nice to, especially for newer sellers, it's important to get an idea of what things are supposed to look like and how things should be done. And I think it's like a part of that research process is for people to see, oh, this is what my logo should look like, or, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really nice of you to offer up more that they can have a little sneak look at your store, but obviously not get any ideas on your actual
product. Right. Just copy me.
No, please don't copy Elise.
Yeah, but sometimes it is just helpful, like to look at people's covers and to go, oh, my words should be really big. It should have product photography. It should, you know, things that we talk about, but it's nice just to see an example of what it kind of maybe should be.
But anyway, yeah, thank you so much for joining me. It has been wonderful chatting to you. So lovely to meet you in person, kind of.
I know. I've loved it, Alex. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. I mean, how amazing is that success that Elise had with those resources? I mean, you can't see what I'm doing. You can only hear what I'm saying. But when we were on our Zoom call and she was telling me about that 10K month and like this, I mean, my jaw just dropped. Like, it's amazing to hear about that. So I'm sure you feel just the same. It's an exciting thing to hear about. I'm so glad Elise came on to the show to talk about it. Definitely be sure to connect with her. I'll put links in the show notes. You can check her out on Instagram and stuff. And be sure to leave a review on the podcast if you've enjoyed it, if you've been enjoying these guest episodes in these last few ones we've been doing. We've got more to come. I think it's really fun to hear other sellers and their stories and their journeys, whether they're a full-time seller, a full-time teacher, part-time, parent, not, whatever. There's so many different experiences that sellers have. And I think it's just really fun to hear how they start their stores and how they're going and all the wisdom that they have. And I've really enjoyed recording these episodes. And if you've been enjoying listening to these lovely, amazing guest episodes, definitely be sure to let me know. Leave a review on the podcast. That would mean so much. And I hope that you have a terrific day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Terrific Teacherpreneur. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Come back for more actionable tips and helpful wisdom in the next episode with your host, Alex. Until then.